I am thankful for that this day is set aside and that there is a particular honor that is bestowed and recognition upon mothers. And I believe that we have a scriptural basis and precedence to pay respect and honor to our mothers, not only today, but all throughout the year. But I believe that it's a blessing that there are folks that are, their attention is given to their moms, especially today, that maybe they don't do it otherwise, and maybe we should. We're given the precedence in the fifth commandment. It says, honor thy father and thy mother. And he says in the fifth commandment that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. In Ephesians, he refers back to this fifth commandment. And he says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, then he comes down and makes reference to the fifth commandment. Honor, the Apostle Paul, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And then he tells us what this promise is, this reference of the promise. He says that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Children, little children, the best way that you can honor your father and mother at this point in your life is in verse 1. He doesn't just say, honor your father and mother, but he tells us how to honor our father and mother. He says, children, he says, obey your father and mother. It's interesting, but at different stages in our life and at different stages in the life of our mother, we have different ways in which we can honor our mother. There's ways that these little kids can honor their mother and father that's not exactly the same as if you're 60 years old and your mother's 80 years old, or you're 70, or even like Sister Linda, her mother is almost 100. There's some special ways that God has designed that at different stages of our life that we can honor our father and our mother. It starts out with little children. And he says, little kids, he says, honor your father and mother. And he says, the way that you honor your father and mother is that you obey your father and your mother. As you get a little bit older, these children will find that one of the best counselors that they'll ever have upon this earth is a godly mother. I appreciated Brother Steve Parker in his prayer, thanking God for the blessing of a godly mother. A godly mother is going to give godly counsel. So you have an opportunity as a young person to honor your mother and father through obeying your mother and father. And then when you get a little bit older, you have the blessing of honoring your mother and appreciating the godly counsel of your mother. I found that at this point in my life that my mother's counsel is extremely valuable and a great blessing. In fact, you know, I've come to realize that she's more right on than she's ever been in her life or in my life. And then if your mother's reach the old age state. Then sometimes they get to the point, and this is a difficult time. But you get to the point that almost the roles begin to shift between the mother and the child. And you begin to shift gears, and that's a very difficult time in some cases when the child ends up caring for the mother the way that the mother cared for the child. And that's described over in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Paul puts it this way, and this is when mothers reach old age. But if any widow have children or nephews, that's grandchildren. If you look up the word nephews, it means grandchildren. It says, let them learn to first show piety, which means kindness, at home. Now that's interesting. If you go over into the Gospels, one of the times that Jesus Christ rebuked the Pharisees is they were saying, well, we're going to take what's been given to us and we're going to give it to the house of the Lord rather than take care of our parents. We're going to do something honorable. And that could be our time, that could be our provisions, that could be our money, that could be what God has blessed us with. And Jesus Christ rebukes them for it. Here he says, let them learn first to show piety or kindness. Where is the example? The very first example, the very first responsibility that we have above every other, he says, is at home. That can be your mother's home. That can be your home. Look at what he says here. Let them learn first to show piety or kindness at home. And then he says, and this is a loaded word right here. And then he says, and to requite. That is a loaded word. That word is loaded with 80 years of experience. He says, and let them learn to show piety or kindness at home, and let them requite. What does that word requite mean? If you look it up, the word requite means to repay. Just consider, what has your mom done for you over the last 50, 60, 70, 80 years? Paul says that it's our responsibility, that it's our opportunity, that it is our blessing, that when the roles begin to shift, when the roles begin to turn, that we take the example of what our mother has done for us for 50, 60, 70, 80 years, and then we turn it around and we use that example to care for her. Now, by the way, moms, you are a blessing. And God has designed you to be a blessing. I've heard folks say, well, I don't want to be a burden for my children. I don't want to be a burden when I get to old age. Well, God didn't design you to be a burden. God designed you to be a blessing. If I'm a bitter man in my youth, if I'm a bitter man in my midlife, when I get to old age, if something doesn't change, I'm going to be bitter. If you find that you're 40 or 50 years old and you're dealing with bitterness or non-forgiveness, or you're upset with everybody else and you make everybody else miserable, I'm going to tell you the time to deal with that is before you get to old age. God designed you to be a blessing. We got a great example of that with Sister Perry. I mean, Sister Linda is so blessed, and she knows it, to have Sister Perry as her mother. But how many here would sign up that love to have a grandmother like Sister Perry? I see some hands going up. I see a bunch of hands. Sister Perry's not a burden. Sister Perry's a blessing. You know what? She chose to be a blessing. She's chosen to use the life that God has given her to be a blessing and an encouragement to those around her. That's why folks love to be around her, because she's such an encouragement. She encourages people in the Lord. And she gives the Lord all the credit for starting on her 100th year. And God's still blessing her in such mighty ways. Mothers are designed to be a blessing from God. And moms in this life are one of the greatest blessings that we'll ever experience. Sister Connie, you sure had a wonderful blessing in your mom. A mother's love. See if this doesn't describe your mother's love. Here's some examples. In Isaiah chapter 49, the Lord is giving us a lesson here. He says, "Sing, O heavens," verse 13, "and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people, and he will have mercy on his afflicted." He's talking about his love for his people and how it's tight. He says, "But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my God hath forgotten me." You know what? Sometimes Satan begins to play with our thinking, play with our mind, and we begin to think that maybe the Lord's forgotten us. Anybody ever thought that maybe because of what I'm going through, what I'm dealing with, that God has forgotten me? He's forgotten about me? He even refers it to his church, his people, his chosen, his elect, and he says, just in case you get to thinking that I've forgotten about you, he says, "Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet I will not forget thee." It is very unlikely. It's not to say that it's not possible in some cases, but it's unlikely and it's rare. You don't see it often. Generally speaking, a mother's love for, as he refers to it, the sucking child or the little child, is a super strong love. In fact, of all the things that he could have looked at to compare it to, that we might be able to relate to or be able to understand or be able to comprehend, he talks about a mother's love. It's not likely. It's very rare. You could look the world over and rarely would you ever find a mother that would forsake her sucking child, the little baby, the infant of her womb, that little child. It's very unlikely. And of all the examples that he could have used, he used a mother's love. And I think it's so that we can, that's about the closest we can comprehend. But he says, it's possible, it's not likely, it's possible that a woman could forget her child, the child of her womb, of her youth and of her womb. But he says, I'm going to tell you something. He says, I won't forget you. He says, I'll never forget you. He says, the strongest love that there is, a mother's love, he says, my love is even stronger than that. He says, yet I will not forget thee. And he says, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands, and thy walls are continually before me. He says, just in case Satan begins to toss a little seed of doubt in your mind that God has forgotten about you, that God doesn't care, that God doesn't know about your situation, he says, I'm going to tell you. He says, my love is even stronger than a mother's love, which is just about the greatest that we can experience here upon this earth, the love of a mother. But he says, I'll never forget you. Because he says, by the way, he says, I've got your names. And he said, they're graven in the palms of my hands. Wow. And he said, I'll never forget you. Let's look at another example of a mother's love. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 19. 1 Kings chapter 3. This is almost a test for Solomon, but there's a lesson here about a mother's love. There were two women, and you can read the story, in one house, two women that were in one house, and both of them had a child. Both of them had children about the same age. They were newborn children. And it came to pass that after the third day that it says that there was no one else in the house. And it says that one of the mothers had a child, and it says that in the night she overlaid upon it, and it says the child died. And they come before Solomon because after she realized that the child had died, she got up in the night and she took the dead child and switched it with the mother that had the living child. And it says that she arose at midnight. She took my son from beside me, and while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid the dead child by me. And when I arose in the morning to give suck to my child, it says that when I rose in the morning, it says, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. Now, I can understand getting a child confused like Jimmy John and Mathen. There is a tip that Sister Catherine can share with you as a good way to know that which one's which. But these were not twins. These were not from the same mother. And it shows that one lady switched the child in the night, and when the mother woke, it says, she says, when I woke and when I looked at it, when I considered it, she says, I realized that's not my child. Well, the mother knew who her child was. Nobody else may. Solomon didn't. He didn't know which was which. But it says that, so they come before Solomon and they want him to solve this. And said, the one woman said, nay, but the living is my son and the dead is thy son. And the other said, no, but the dead is thy son and the living is my son. And so they brought this before the king. And the king saith to one, he says, the one saith, this is my son and that liveth, and thy son is dead. And the other saith, nay, but thy son is dead and my son is living. And what would you do? What would you do if you were the king and you had two mothers that came to you and both claimed that their child was the living child? How would you resolve it if that was brought to you? By the way, Solomon always was praying for wisdom. And God blessed him with wisdom in this respect. And Solomon knew that for the real mother, that there was something on the inside. And it would manifest itself outwardly. Now this sounds hard. Solomon said, bring me a sword. He says, I'll tell you how we'll handle this. you bring me a sword. And they brought the sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two. And we'll give half to one, and we'll give half to the other. Then spake the woman, whose the living child was. And she said unto the king, for it says, for her bowels yearned upon her son. She said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it neither be mine or thine, but divide it. There was a difference in the mother's love. The one said, if I can't have it, we'll divide it, and that'll settle it. The other one said, even if I can't have it, I want my child to live. And it said her heart or her bowels yearned for the child. It says, then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it, because she is the mother. There's something on the inside that God gives a mother that's mighty special with the child. Here's another example over in Exodus. Exodus, if you want to go there, chapter 1 and 2. The children of Israel were multiplying and growing, and it says that the king passed, after putting great hardship upon the Israelites that the Egyptians placed upon them, that finally they were multiplying and they were growing and they were afraid they were going to take over. And so he says, well, he talks to all the midwives and he says, I want you, if it's a little girl that's born, you can spare it. If it's a little boy that's born, I want you to slay it in birth. And the midwives, that didn't really happen. The midwives said they spared them. But the king calls them and he rebukes the midwives and he says, you know, what's the deal? And they say, well, the women are healthy women and they've been able to deliver the children before we get there. Before the midwife gets there, they've already delivered the child. So then he determines to slay all the little boys and that decree is passed that they'll cast them into the river. And it says that in chapter 2, there went a man of the house of Levi that took a wife, the daughter of Levi, and the woman bare a son. And when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months so that his life wouldn't be taken. This is the mother of Moses. And it says, when she could hide him no longer, that she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed them with slime and pitched them and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river. Now, can you just imagine what the mother of this 3-month-old must have been dealing with as she was looking to the Lord to spare the life of this little child? God worked a miraculous way here in just a tremendous miracle. It says that she put the little child in this river, and as it was floating in the river, that she was standing afar off and she was watching to see what would become of this little 3-month-old boy. It says her daughter went around, and it says that Pharaoh's daughter came in to the river, down to wash herself in the river, and her maidens were along with her, and she saw the little ark. She saw the little ark with the little baby in it. And it says she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. It was later Moses, or it was Moses. And it says, behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion upon him, and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children, and said to his sister, to Pharaoh's daughter, said this to his sisters, Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call for thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? Here the mother places the child in this little ark, and she's standing afar off, and she's watching. And God is working a miracle all along. I'm sure God had to give the mother even a measure of peace to create this little ark, to place the little baby in the ark. And as she's standing over on the sideline, watching this little baby float down the river, of all the people that could come out to see this little baby, it was Pharaoh's daughter. She comes out, it says, to wash herself. And when she sees the little baby, it says that she was moved with compassion. And so the mother standing on the sidelines, and she knows that it's Pharaoh that had commanded that all of these little ones be destroyed, and yet Pharaoh's daughter is the one that sees the little ark, sees the little baby. And so the maids say, and it says, the daughter said, how about if we go get somebody? She's of the Hebrew. How about if we go get somebody to nurse this child while it's but an infant? Certainly Pharaoh's daughter was not going to take care of it. She may see that it's taken care of, but she wasn't going to take care of it. And so they go and get somebody. And of all the people that they could get in the whole world to get to nurse this child, they get the little baby's mother. And it says not only that, but they even paid her to do it. Now, only God could put something like that together. A mother's love. Abraham Lincoln. His mother and father were members of the Little Pigeon Primitive Baptist Church. No doubt he grew up going and probably sat under some long sermons. Abraham Lincoln said, I remember my mother's prayers, and they have followed me. They have clung to me all my life. Wow. Another gentleman said, a mother's love is peace. It need not be acquired. It need not be deserved. The heart of a mother is a deep abyss. And at the bottom of it, which you will always find, is forgiveness. Isn't that one of the traits of a mother? Proverbs 31. We've used this reference before in looking at a godly wife. And certainly it does refer to a godly wife, but it also refers to a godly mother. Because it says in verse 28, it says, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her children rise up and call her blessed. I'm going to read through it as we conclude. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him, that's her husband, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and she worketh willingly with her hands. He talks about the diligence of a mother, the commitment of a mother for her husband, her home, her family. She seeketh wool with and flax, and she worketh willingly with her hands. She is like a merchant ship, and she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night. It says she's like a merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She always has provisions on the table. She always has enough for not only her family, but usually there's enough that you can pull up a couple of extra plates. In fact, Brother Compton used to say, he said, we were poor. But he said, my mother could take a potato. By the time she got through with that potato, she had enough food that she could feed 16 kids. I don't know how moms do that or grandmoms do it. But they do. She riseth while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. You know, I got to thinking about this as I was reading it. No matter what time I got up as a little boy, as a child, do you know what? My mother was already up. Got to thinking about it. No matter what time I went to bed at night, that my mom was up then. Usually the washing machine was going. We always had lots of clothes to wash. Mom, it seemed like the washer was always going. There was always something that was cooking in the kitchen. But somehow God gives moms an extra strength where they don't stay in bed till 12 o'clock. I don't know any moms that do. He says they rise up early and they stay up late. Isn't that something you can describe about your mom? She riseth up even while it's night, and she giveth the meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hand she planteth the vineyard. She's enterprising. She's self-starting. You don't have to jumpstart a mother. No. God puts that on the inside when He blesses you with little kids. It says, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. Isn't it amazing that a mom's role is not just a 9-to-5 job? A mom's role is a 24/7 job. I know that if I have a need that I can contact my mother at 2 o'clock in the morning if I needed to, and if there was a need that I had, my mother would be there. He says, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, and all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen, selleth it, delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. And she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. One of the things that this describes in Proverbs 31 is that a mother is diligent. That a mother uses her mind and her hands and her strength to labor for the good of her family and to the glory of God. She looketh well to the ways of her household. She eateth not the bread of idleness. And then he says, her children arise up, and they call her blessed. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. We give glory to God, but mothers are worthy of praise. Mothers are praiseworthy because God designed them in a really neat, special way. That He put this love on the inside for their children, for their husband, for their family. And that's a blessing from the Lord. And mothers are special gifts from God. And we ought to view it that way when we're... I wish somebody had told me this when I was young. I wish I'd have taken the opportunities that I had to show my appreciation to my mother in my youth. If you still have your mother, honor her. If you've been blessed with a godly mother, give the Lord the glory. Give the Lord the praise. Not everybody has that blessing. If God looked down upon you and blessed you with a godly mother, give the Lord the credit and the glory for it. Honor your father and your mother. May God bless you.